and welcome to Circle Radio, the first of Grandfathers Around the Fire shows with Rod and myself. And here we are and ready to do the show, and we'll see where we go with this. You know, this will be a fun venture, I think. It's funny opening the show since Sharon's been opening all the shows for so long, but it's nice to be doing that again. And we just thought, as a companion piece to the show that the ladies do, the Women's Healing Hour, that this would be a great idea. And that doesn't mean we only want men to show up, not at all. So I'm glad to see some of you ladies are here today. We want everyone to show up. However, we're going to take on some topics that are of interest to the men. And so, guys, let us know. Tell us what you think. Tell us, do you like the show? Do you not like the show? But then tell us why. And if you have topics, as always, suggest them. Also, remember, because I see a lot more people coming on now, and there's a whole bunch of people on the message line a minute ago, if you do want to talk on the air, let us know ahead of time, either on the message stream or the chat box, that you're going to be calling and what the last digits of your number are and what you'd like to talk about. Because a lot of people call in just to listen, and we don't want to waste a whole bunch of time bringing folks up who don't want to talk. I hope that makes sense. So, Rod and I are sitting here in Colorado. The clouds are coming in. We may get some thunderstorms, which is nice. In the meantime, we're just looking out over the river. But we were just saying how it's really odd. About a week ago, the trees here started dropping leaves, and that was in July. That doesn't happen here. It's usually mid-September and then on through September and on through October. So just another interesting shift in the environment around us. It's still summer. It's hot as the dickens here. But we're also having leaves dropped. So kind of fun. I hope you guys... I see Roger's no audio. Can everyone else hear this? Take a minute to make sure this is working. Okay, the others can hear. Okay, Roger, start up again there, buddy. Oh, it looks like he already has. And Janie had a refresh as well. Yeah, we had to do this a little differently because Sharon usually brings us up. And I brought us up on phone because up here where we are on the river, the internet connection is pretty cruddy. So Skype is not a great option. Okay, the rest of you are hearing us. That's good. That's good. So we're going to be talking today. Well, you know what? Let me turn it over to Rod so he can say hello. I caught him just before he was going to drink water. And Rod will give you an idea of what we're going to talk about today.
Hello, everyone. Glad to have you here. It should be an awesome, awesome time. Look forward to your input and hearing what you have to say. It's interesting that Jim would bring up that the leaves are starting to drop, because I think this is probably a program about some of us men starting to drop some leaves also, as we begin to look at the new ways of walking, because the old ways really aren't working anymore. And I don't know how many guys out there have realized that, but I know for me it's been an absolutely huge shift and a huge change with looking at different things and beginning to understand that the old ways that I was walking really don't work, and I don't see where they will work in the coming times. It's just not there anymore. So anything to me that I'm seeing is anything that we were holding on to as far as beliefs, systems, et cetera, that had to do with anything and had to do with doing something one way. You know, it's my way, it's this way, this is what I've always believed, this is what I've been taught. Whether it's from the teachings from your families as you go back or wherever it might be, the things that had led so many of us into our belief systems are now simply leading us into dichotomy, and it's not working. If it's not leading into unity, in my opinion, then it's time for a new way of looking at it. So that's hopefully what this show will be about, and hopefully we'll get some good questions. Jim?
Yeah, how to be warriors in this time of change. how to be warriors, but not the old kind of warriors, not the ones who grab their spears and head off to kill and maim, but how to be gentle warriors. And a lot of us guys have gone through that and are still going through it, and a lot more are just starting to show up. We were doing Rod and I were doing a circle Thursday night, and we were doing a journeying for a group of folks. And once again, I became aware, and it's really nice, that when we do these circles now, and we're doing a bunch of them, Sue and Rod and myself here locally, that the group is very diverse. And I didn't see that even 5 years ago. I think we were fairly evenly divided between men and women. We had young and old and in between. And we had pretty good diversity also of cultures. So that's a big shift. I mean, it used to be when you would be in these circles, and I know I see some of you nodding your heads already. And yes, I can see you. That we men who were in these circles, certainly 10 years ago, before that even more so, and even up to 5 years ago, you might have a circle of 20 people and you'd have one or two men, and the rest would be women. And that is changing, and that really is critical. And that's kind of why I like the way we're doing these radio shows. We have some that I'm on with the ladies. We have others where we have the women's healing hours, and now we have, as I put up on the chat thing, two old men on the river. So it's a good mix. It's a good mix of energy. It's a good mix of everything that we need. And so how do we become these peaceful warriors? How do we move away from what our nature is? And, I mean, this goes into all different kinds and parts of life. So let me hear what you're thinking, folks. Those of you on chat, those of you on message, those of you on Facebook. Tell us what you're thinking, and we'll put it up. I know Running Elk is here. I saw him shortly before the show, and he had 12 men and 3 women with him today. So I guess they've got some grandfathers with them. And they said hello and heya, and welcome to you guys. And the rest of you, I don't know who else is on message yet. I'll check again in a couple minutes. But it's really, really important for the men not only to show up now as we are and to connect with the women, but to figure out how do we hold our masculinity, which is important to the circle, but get rid of the ego and the fierceness and the wanting to battle in the, you know, clenched fist way that we've been trained for generations, because that is equally as important. And so I want to hear what you all are thinking about that, and let's see if Rod's got anything on that. I'm going to pass it over to him.
Thanks, Jim. You know, some of the things that I've been really, really focusing on or have them focused on to me, I think might be a better way of looking at it, is, you know, how do we now as men, how do we walk as husbands, how do we walk as family members, how do we walk as fathers, how do we walk as just, you know, quote, men upon this earth? One of the big things that I have seen and the big shifts that I've been watching come through my life, different areas, political areas, my goodness gracious, I mean, that's been absolutely massive. How do we walk now as a gentle warrior with all the dichotomy going on with our political systems right now? I mean, it's absolutely massive. If we go from looking at going from, say, an Obama to a Trump, I mean, how are we going to handle that? How do we walk with that? Where do we stand with all these things? How do we walk with our families? How do we walk with our wives? It's just been absolutely incredible with our children. One of the things that, you know, I have seen for so long as, you know, as growing up in the culture that I've grown up in, there are certain things that have been ingrained that as men we are responsible for and we're supposed to do and all these kind of things. And I'm watching now and saying, you know, there's no longer a time, this is no longer the time, and there's no longer a place where we have anything that has to do with separation, where we start bringing in the dichotomy of this and that. Well, I'm the man, and so thus it is. I mean, that doesn't work anymore. And I know a lot of guys that, you know, I know in my personal life that I walk with and work with and things like that, that are really struggling because it's not working anymore. How do we find that new balance where we walk with gratitude but allow others to also walk in the ways that they are meant to walk, so that if we're not looking at unity, if we're not bringing everything together where it's unity in your marriage, unity in your family, unity in your politics, unity in absolutely everything. Politics for me has been a big thing that I've had to watch and literally come to an understanding that there is no time for politics anymore. It's gone. Folks, it's gone. Anything that we're looking at that divides, I don't believe, and I can't see how it's going to fit into this new earth that we're walking into and this new vibration. So how do we, what does it take, and what are you guys up against as you're trying to now walk in this new paradigm and begin to walk away from the ways that we thought we were supposed to do, that we thought would work in the old system? Anything for you, Jim?
Yeah, I mean, all of that is absolutely true, and we've talked about it in other things, too, and we've talked about here, and we may get into a little more of that in a bit, too. A lot of the things I was taught by my teachers are now coming back and kind of tweaking me, and as Rod and I work together, which is now, I guess, about a year and a half, I didn't realize at first, but we came from very, very different spectrums of our communities and of just being. Rod, from a very conservative position and had spent a lot of time in religion. Me, from an equally liberal position and had spent almost no time in religion once I, as I like to jokingly say, escaped. And yet we're on the road together, and that's exactly what has to happen for, I think, for we men. And I see Roger is saying, many are now recognizing, celebrating, and balancing both the sacred masculine and sacred feminine, which is an integral part of each of us. Yes, absolutely right, Roger. And we've done shows on that in the past. Feel free, folks, to go to the archives. But now we'll be talking about it as men would consider this. The prophecies are, and I'll just do this briefly because, again, there's whole shows on it, that when we were going to enter into the fifth earth, that the sacred feminine would have to step up again. The fourth earth has been controlled by men, by the masculine. The one before that was controlled by the feminine. This doesn't work. It never has. But now the feminine, when they step up, it's not to take over again, because that just swings the pendulum back the other way. But it's to come up in equality together, men and women. And that's why I really like the idea of this show, because what do we men do to see that we're doing our part to make that happen? It means we have to give up, a lot of men do anyway, the power and control that they thought they had. And women have to take back some of the power and control they had in previous Earth. However, neither one can try to assume the leadership of everything, because, again, that won't work. It has to be in equality. It has to be in equal energy. And that's throughout all the prophecies. And I'm starting to see that happen. I don't see as many men's groups and women's groups. Even in a show like this, which it's grandfathers, so we can talk about the energy in the men, we really want to see the women, and I'm glad to see a lot of them are here. Likewise, when the Women's Healing Hour comes on, a lot of men show up. That's a good way to understand the energy of either the masculine or the feminine, but not to exclusively do it that way. So, as I'm saying that, let's just see. Boy, this is popping all over already, folks. Thank you. And then when I put Rod on, I'll get back to the message board. But let's see, we have, I'm going to skip over. summer running Elks group for a minute and moved to Janie, who said, when I was growing up, it wasn't masculine if a man, I think she means cried. They were supposed to be the strong ones no matter what happened. The man who was also the provider for the family, married women, rarely went to work. Absolutely right. And Roger says, yes, that was the mindset I was raised with also. So imbalanced. And so for many of us, certainly for me, I suspect for Rod. And again, I see some of you men out there shaking your head. Yes, that's changing, and it must change, because we have to get out of that whole mindset that's created for each of the four Earths we've already experienced imbalance. Because each of the first four were controlled either by the women or by the men. At least that's what we're told by the elders. Now it has to be together. And the ones who really get this will be the young ones. And so I really want to focus on the young men coming up and say, hey, guys, no, you don't have to be that, really that foolish model, that crazy model of men have to be strong. They were wimps if they cried. Oh, yeah, I mean, on and on and on. You never showed pain. It's a long, long list. And it's really a crazy list because it makes no sense. When I first stepped up on the spiritual road and when I was in some of the first ceremonies, especially in the sweat lodge, I remember in one of them, I just burst into tears. So much stuff was coming. And I felt horrible because I thought everyone was going to judge me as some weakling or a girly man, which was a lovely term used. And that wasn't the case. I guess Lyman Yellowhair, who was running the lodge, sensed that, and he spoke about it. And he said, you know, it's, you got to learn the indigenous way, and that is only the strong men can cry. Only the strong men can show pain. It doesn't mean you do it all the time, but there's nothing to block you if you allow those emotions to come as well. So let me put Rod on about this, and then I will go back and pick up Grandfather Ron's from Running Elks Group.
Thanks, Jim. One of the biggest things I have found is balance. Trying to work on balance as I've stepped onto this road. It was about a year and a half ago, as Jim was saying, when I was shown that there was two paths before me, one to the right, one to the left. And I had been on a path to the right. It was the path that I had been brought up in. It is the path that I worked in, per se. Believed in, walked in, everything. I mean, right down that road. And when I was beginning to be shown that another path was on the other side, on the left, and I started going and looking at that path, now that was a huge change, and that's when I met Jim and started a bunch of different shifts in my thinking. But one of the biggest shifts that I missed, and one of the shifts that I believe is so prevalent, and many of us don't even see it, In the traditional ways, it's called walking down the good red road. Now, walking down the good red road for me, as I interpreted that into my understandings, I thought, my gosh, I'm doing pretty good. I'm walking down this good red road because this is right and that's wrong. And so I am walking down this road, and I am walking down this road, you know, with great integrity, per se, so I thought, and walking down this road with, you know, great commitment and heading for it and preaching it and talking about it and you name it, and very, very, very much into that. And as I began to shift to the path on the left and I began walking down that path, I began to hear in the traditional teachings about the good red road, and it's like, okay, so I've been doing that, you know, I'm fooling myself, but I'm thinking, you know, okay, I've been doing that, I've been making that road, I've been making that shift and walking down this road. But what I didn't understand until I was doing some reading by Dr. A.C. Ross, and I was reading in his book, and he talks about going down the good red road, but he talks about when you're going down the good red road, you must walk down the middle. Oh my gosh. What an enlightening thing to begin to truly understand and talk about, having to look at my belief system, everything I've known, believed, etc., been taught, and walking down the center of the road means no judgment. Now, that was a huge shift for me because on the road before, I thought I was walking down the road because in the teachings that I was taught is judge no one. And as you judge, so you shall be judged. So I was really working on that, but I had this misconception that I think so often comes from many different, when we start to put ourselves, well, I belong, I'm this, I'm that, we start making these identification classifications, and we start saying, well, I belong to this, and I'm that, and I'm a this, and I'm a that. The thing that we don't understand is every time, at least I didn't understand, the thing that we're not catching, I believe, is we're not looking at the fact of unity. We're not looking at the fact that we are all one. Everything is equal. Everything is absolutely comes from the same creator source energy. And beginning to understand that the energy in, that has been, always will be, has been here for centuries and has flowed through us was quite an awakening, and begin to truly look at what does that mean and where does that come into play in our lives. So it was quite a time. But the biggest thing I found was in the teachings before, you could walk down the good red road, but you could have what I call righteous indignation, righteous anger, where you're seeing something that is just obviously not right. And, you know, it's okay to get upset about those things and come against those things. And then to come down this road and begin to understand that walking down the center of the road where you cast no shadow, oh my gosh, what a change that has been, and what a meaningful place that to have come to begin to look at all the things that we believe in, say we believe in, and go into our subconscious and begin to really truly look at who we are and where we're going, and begin to look at where are we walking not down the center. What areas of our lives come up with, you know, like we had talked before about politics and this and that. Where do we come up and understand that on each different subject have we chosen to not judge, to walk down the center, and that's our only focus. When our only focus is, you know, this comes up, smoking cigarettes, big one for me, trying to quit. Been trying to quit. Walking down that road and looking at it and saying, okay, so we'll just take this as an example. Or, you know, is cigarettes good for me or bad for me? Well, see, right now, when I look at it that way, then I have to make a decision. And when I'm looking at those kind of decisions, then I'm either going to the right or the left, off the center of the good red road. Whereas if I look at it and say, who really cares? It doesn't matter if it's good for me. It doesn't matter if it's bad for me. I only have one thing and purpose, and that's walking down and staying in the center of the good red road, and I'll deal with that stuff later if I need to. And that has been an absolute major shift in looking at religion, re-looking at politics, re-looking at all the things that there are so many people out there who want to tell you that this is the right way, that's the wrong way, etc. So that's been a great part for me. Jim?
Thank you. There's some good stuff coming up here, folks. So we'll get to as much as we possibly can. Now I'm trying to scroll up a minute. Here we go. Grandfather Ron with Running Elk. We Lakota for many generations are trained to be warriors and protect the community. Others were to be and trained, I think he means trained, as healing and spirit. Now many of the young still want to fight. Some of us old speak how we now must fight. Without hating or, I think that's physical fighting. Yeah, that's a good one, Grandfather. Not sure what to say about that, totally. Yes, in the past, you're absolutely right. We had warriors, and they were needed because we were a younger version of ourselves, I hope. We're shifting now, so we need to lose some of that energy, and that's why these ongoing wars and ongoing killings and all of that needs to shift. And those of us who are entering the light to help this move into the fifth earth really have to be able to do that. And, you know, it's hard. Like Rod's saying, you know, you have this righteous anger. However, if you let that anger turn into true anger or hate, who are wanting to kill somebody or hoping somebody is killed for what they've done, you're just perpetrating the old existence. It gets us nowhere. As hard as that is, and many of us have gone through that, just in this lifetime, some of us more than once, depending on how old we are and where we've grown up and where we live. It's not an easy part of the walk, especially for men. And yes, I hear what Grandfather Ron's saying. Some of the young in the reservations, also within the black communities and some of the other minority communities, want to still really fight. Others have walked away from that and are trying other things. Now, I get it. You know, I know the sorts of persecution that goes on. I've been there. I've seen it. I've lived it with my friends and relatives on the reservation and in the cities. But we truly need to walk away from that. And men are the key here. That I also believe. I'm not saying they're the only ones. But it's certainly the men who still think, some of them, okay, we got to be those strong warriors and, you know, kick ass and take names sort of thing. That won't work. It simply won't work. So let's see where else we want to go. Okay, here's a good one. Let me do this one too and then turn it over to Rod. Larman. I'm not sure where Larman's coming from. I think that's a new person. And welcome if it is. If not, maybe someone who's just speaking up. Thank you. We have a man's group of 18 who meet every week and are trying to find ways to become spiritual. Some people strong in religion here. Seems to make a problem sometimes. Why is that? Any ideas? And Roger says, wow, Larman's hit on a pretty frequent and heavy topic there. Okay, but yes, it is. It's really a frequent and heavy topic there. A little bit of my thoughts on that, and then I'll turn it over to Rod. And, you know, I said early on in the program coming on, Rod and I came from very different perspectives, and we still debate him at times, which is a healthy thing. But he came from a strong religion background, albeit not necessarily a traditional one, but it was strong religion and strong conservatism. For me, it was liberal and no religion. Nothing for a long time, and then spiritual. Yeah, people who claim to be religious often are the ones who perpetrate the old ideals. And boy, we got to do a show about this too. Commented a little bit on one of Roger's posts this past week, and he said that'd be a great show. And I think it's all around this, Roger, if I'm not mistaken. So we may do a show on this. But religion is there to control. Everything about religion is about controlling. We started off as spiritual beings. Spiritual means freedom to think, freedom to connect with our Creator, our God, the ability to shift and change. If something's not working, we look at it, we see why we change it into something else. Religion took that and turned it into a control mechanism with things like the Bible, which is one example Rod and I were talking about lately. That's a control mechanism. Are there some good thoughts in there? Sure, absolutely. But the good thoughts were brought out of spirituality and the old ones. And again, you know, things were put in there just to control the population. And so I'm not like trying to just knock people who are still in religion. I get that. But I think that's what your issue is there, Larman. The ones in the religion part are still trying to control. Look at the world around us now. It's the really strong right-wing conservative types. And I'm not talking about political parties. I'm talking about mindset. Who mostly claim to be strongly religious. And as they say that out of the left side of their mouth, out of the right side of their mouth, they're saying, kill such and such a group, which is different than me. So if there's a way, Larman, to lay down their religion when you get into these discussions, it would help a lot. You're not going to change anybody right away, that's for sure. But if you can just lay that down and talk as men in a circle, forgetting whether you're spiritual or religious or atheist, you might have a little better success. Let me turn it over to Rod a bit, and then there's a whole bunch more coming.
Thanks, Jim. You know, one of the things that I've seen, and I believe big time, is when we're looking at all this fighting, especially the stuff that's going on with so many generations right now, and that younger generation, is if we look at the chakra systems, the base chakra is that system that brings us into the grounding of the Earth Mother. And when we don't have a grounding with the Earth Mother, then we go into pack mentality from the different teachings that I've been studying here. And I see that to be quite a huge awakening in my own understanding, that we've got a whole generation now. Actually, I think we've got a couple generations now who have absolutely no clue and no tie to nature, no tie to the Earth Mother, no tie to the understanding that creation is a part of us. And when we don't have that tie, I believe our next tie then becomes to, instead of focusing and becoming to an understanding that we're all one, that we're all connected, that we're all the same energy, same source, then if we don't have that connection of the base chakra, then what happens is we then start looking at pack mentality. We start looking for those things that we need that bring us into some kind of unity. And instead of unity with the universe, we look for unity in others who are around us that are somewhat like us or give us some kind of worth or meaning. And when we're getting our worth and our meaning from a system that is based upon a fight mentality, a pack mentality, because if you don't have a connection and understanding of unity of all things, then you're going to, just I think by default, you're going to be looking at finding that unity in another area, in another source, that sense of belonging. And that sense of belonging, instead of where we're all united, that sense of belonging comes more now to a pack mentality, where we begin to look at things and saying, I'm this, you're not, thus there's a separation. And the more separations and divides that we make, the more we get away from and go into ego and the things of the world, instead of coming into spirituality. To me, religion has been a huge part, because we have taken, and I look back through Buddha, through Christ, through all the different great teachers who have come, and instead of taking their teachings and using their teachings to form a consciousness of unity, we have taken instead and made the messengers a religion. And so now we come down to which then again puts in unity. Or I'm sorry, it doesn't put in unity, puts in diversity, because now it's I'm this, you're not. So anytime we come off of that paradigm where we're looking at things from a perspective of all things are one, all things are connected, all creation is one, we then, the separation of that comes into, we begin to separate and say, well, I'm this, you're not, I'm this, you're not, we're this, you guys aren't, whether it's, you know, we start off with family, I'm of this family. Then we realize our family may be Italian or German or this or that. So we then take our nationalities or our country and we begin to separate and divide again further into, well, I'm of this tribe, I'm of this nation, I'm of, you know, this place, I'm of that place. And every time we do that, and the more we do that, and the more we progress into that thinking, then the next step is, if I'm part of this, then I must protect this. And then that sense of fight comes up, because now we're trying to fight for what it is that we belong to. So I think a big part of it is being so blocked out in our culture today from getting back to our true selves and getting back to nature, getting back to an understanding of how of creation itself.
Wow, a lot of stuff flying around here on the... that was good comments from Rod, and boy, there's so many things here we're going to try to get to. I'm going to take a quick brain time out as I continue to absorb what Rod's saying and what I'm seeing here posted, and mention to you all, here's a little advertisement, We're going to do something different this week. Tomorrow we're going to have another show. Sharon and I are going to do the Healing Mirror show tomorrow at 1 o'clock Mountain Time, 3 o'clock Eastern, noon Western, on how did I lose my spirituality? So many people were thinking they lost their spirituality or it's not working for them anymore, that I think this is going to be a really, maybe difficult, but powerful show to do. And I saw that a whole bunch of people had already tried to listen to it on the archives. Remember, folks, the shows go up ahead of time. So if you go in before the show, you're not going to hear much. So join us tomorrow if you wish, if you're around, for that show as well. Okay, that gave me some time to think as we're doing this. Where do we jump next? I think we'll go here. Roger had said, well, first Brock had said, because I'd asked him, I know what he works with a lot of men's group, 60,000 men strong in the Mankind Project, which anyone interested, go to the internet and go to www.mkp.org and take a look. That is a really interesting group. And Brock's putting up as I speak of him. Men need to awaken their inner goddess. They need to get in touch with their feminine side. Men need to get in touch with all of their emotions, angers, tears, but most of all, love and compassion for all things. Aho. Yeah, absolutely right. And you know, I like this, the Mankind Project that Brock works with. It's not exactly the way I work, but that's, you know, once again, many roads, one place we're trying to get to together. But there's some really good things there. And, you know, for men who are trying to adjust to this new world we're stepping into, for women, since they work more from the heart in general, of course, there's exceptions for everything, it's a little easier for them to accept. But I see a lot of men have a heck of a hard time because they have to shift from brain to heart, which is much harder. So however you can do that, whether it's through Mankind Project, whether it's working with elders, whether it's stepping away from religion and into a spiritual realm, whatever that is, great. If it helps you with some of the issues that Brock's saying, I would suggest you do it. Just, I strongly suggest that men need to stay away from the hate and anger things, which we're seeing a lot of, and which Roger put up while Rod was speaking. Even in European-based cultures, a lot of the young men want to fight. Is this nature or nurture, do you think? And I think, yeah, that's nurture. That's what grandfather was talking about as well. A lot of the young are being brought up and still think they want to fight, but a lot are not, and they're the ones we have to focus on. We have to focus on nature, not the old ways of nurture. If we focus on nature, then we will nurture in a good way. If we focus on nurture and the old ways of hate and fear, then that's what we're going to keep getting back. So nature's critical. Rod talked about it. It's popping up here again. It was popping up with Rhonda, who put up, what Rod said is so true. When we judge, it distracts us from purpose, just like the whole lion thing I spoke about this week, and smaller things like smoking. When we place judgment, we distract from purpose and action. John from Switzerland, that's a new country for us, I believe. Welcome, John. He says, my family asked why men still kill animals like the lion from Africa this week. So that's coming up a couple times here. That's an interesting thing as well. Why should we value human life and human connections and working from the heart if we can't even value animals? And what I would say to both Rhonda and John, and I've put up a lot about that lion this week as well, because it's not even about that lion as much as a sense of being that has to shift. And that's not about just about men, John. You see a good number of women who also like to go out and shoot animals for trophy. I suppose there's probably more men than women. I don't know that. I haven't looked up the numbers, and I'm not going to do it while we're talking. But I have seen a lot where there's also women in that. So that, I think, is both. Probably more men than women. As soon as you're out there doing things like that, you are removing yourself from a spiritual road. There's a lot of things that can remove you from a true spiritual road, from being able to advance. One of them is just this, wanting to kill other people, wanting to kill animals. There's no reason or need for it. And now we're not talking about hunting for food or any of that. That's a whole different thing. That's part of the cycle of life. We'll get into that later perhaps. But those are the kinds of things that simply have to cease. Watching this thing about the lion, now reading it and seeing the pictures brought tears to my eyes and started getting me very angry. I backed off of that. What I'm seeing is a big shift in consciousness by so many people around just this issue. And so I see a lion that has fulfilled an enormous purpose here. He's just one lion that was killed. But the way it was done and the cruelty with which it was done and the awareness of people now starting to say, why do we have to kill an animal and hang its head on our wall? What do we gain by that except feeding our own ego and maybe feeling like we're worth more than we need to be? So there's a lot there, and more is coming on this, but let me turn it over to Rod a bit. He's making notes. Uh-oh, watch out, people.
You know, I was thinking as we were going through and asking some of these questions about, you know, especially our youth, you know, wanting to fight and this and that, and all this division that it's causing. And my question, when I look at, it doesn't matter if I'm, what culture I'm working with, it seems, anymore. If we're with the native cultures, if I'm with the cultures with the peoples coming up from Mexico, or in the other countries down there, if I'm just with different, the cultures of white and black here in America, things like that. One of the things that I believe is just a huge, huge part of this is, do we understand, have we gotten that understanding that this is not our only walk? Because if we understand, and I believe if we can start getting into looking at, my gosh, I've walked with red paint. I've walked with black paint. I've walked with yellow paint. Right at the moment, I'm walking with white paint. I've also walked with the feminine energy. I've walked with the male energy. I mean, when we start breaking things down and saying, well, you don't know what your people did to my people. I mean, every culture, every person can say this. Everybody has something, I believe, if we truly look at it, that we can find a place where we can set a stance and we can draw the line and we can start to divide, conquer, and fight. And if we are doing that, I think if we can start to take some time and start to go into and explain and show people, I've walked before, you've walked before. And if we've walked before, I mean, who can tell me if we take the black people and they say, well, you know, you enslaved us. Well, how do we truly know that during that time, I wasn't the slave in the black paint and you weren't the owner in the white paint? Maybe we've met and walked this earth before together, but we were in different roles at that time. How do we know this? And so I don't think we can continue these old arguments and these old things that are coming up that are, boy, with elections coming up here in our country, I mean, talk about divide that's coming, wow. And we feel, you know, it's not just our country, it's just where I live, so it's what I see. But all these systems have failed. All these systems are gone, they're done. Unfortunately, we're still in the after effects of them playing themselves out. But do we begin to understand, and I think this to me is one of the very key essence of beginning to understand and look at and to begin to walk away from and walk in a new way, to walk as the new warrior, is to begin to understand that I've probably been there. You've been here. So, but we're all one. So let's lay it down. Let's start afresh. Let's start off as true brothers. And if we can start off as true brothers, true sisters, and start walking together, honoring the creation in each and every one of us, then maybe we can start honoring the creation in each and every part of creation. Maybe we can then start honoring the energy of God that is in absolutely all things and begin to walk in this new way of peace and harmony. Jim?
I was reading the comments. He woke me up. Oh. And Roger's saying, right on, Rod. Well said. Yes. Truly well said. Now I will bring it back in because I think I'm missing some things being said. We'll try to get them. But Susan's on. Susan is Great Britain. She's our friend that's getting ready to move to California. And so she cuts to the chase. What ways can men act to change? Very good, Susan. Yeah, that's like, okay, we're talking a lot, we're saying a lot of things, but what can men do to change the way we are? Because you're right, that is what this show is about. So, Well, here's Rhonda shortly before that who put up, men need to balance their masculine and feminine. Some are very connected to their heart, like women, and then think there's something wrong with them because they feel... There's nothing wrong with them. Yeah, okay, so that is good, Rhonda. That's one way. For those who are connected strongly to their heart, let's make it understood that there's nothing wrong. In fact, we need men like that to step up, to show other men that you can work from your heart. You can get out of your head. So there's one way, Susan. Another way is with groups of men, with the caveat, you know, the little cautionary flag, that when you're working in groups of men, I find that incredibly valuable. But then you have got to bring it in jointly with the women. Likewise for the women. If you just stay in the group of men or the group of women, you're missing the point. And so if you have, like, Mankind Project, great group. They do good work. I'm hoping all those men go out and also get involved with groups that are also made up of men and women. Otherwise, we're continuing to isolate ourselves. So I find that very important, and I find some men find that very difficult to do. And again, Rod and Sue and I have been doing a lot of groups here, and I'm thrilled that it's so well mixed with men and women. You can see some of them challenged. That's cool. That's good. You know, being just around folks, Susan, being around other men and seeing how some can function better when there's women around and when they're going to show their heart a little more or when they're going to connect a little more, helps others. Just like, doing my little talk on religion and how that gets in the way. Having someone who can help people, and we do this in our groups as well, actually, Rod does it more than I do, but help people who are evolving back out of religion or want to understand more about spirituality. So those things can really help. The other one is work on yourself. Okay, look at something like this issue with the lion that was killed. For those who don't know, I don't know how anyone can miss it. It's all over television, internet. It's fascinating. I guess a dentist from here in the States paid $50,000 to go to Africa and kill this incredible lion. Now, the big problem with this, at least with those who worry about the legalities, is that it was illegally lured out of a national park. It was a protected lion. This was done intentionally. Some say he knew about it. Some say he didn't. But anyway, he killed it and took the head and left the rest of it there. It's caused an outrage. They're actually trying now to extradite him to Africa. And so when we look at that as men, some men will say, well, you know, he's just being a hunter. Okay, I'd say they're not getting it. Other men are saying, kill the son of a gun. They're not getting it either. You need to look, and you need to look with your heart and your head and say, what is this teaching us? And that's with anything else in the world as well, of course. So using your heart, I mean, literally, when I stepped up on the spiritual road, Two Bear is my primary teacher. I can't tell you how much time he worked with me to try to get me out of my head and into my heart. I thought too much. I still have it happen. I didn't sleep much last night. My head kept spinning. I was too much in it. So that's another way. Actually, exercise the heart. Trying to think. That's the main ones that come to me. And I just see here quickly, Brock put up, Sister Group to Mankind Project is known as Women Within, seeing a lot more co-ed gatherings recently. That's perfect, because the Mankind Project then needs to sit with the women within as a joint collective. And I've seen that with all the indigenous cultures I work with. So that's, thank you, Brock. That's always been one of my things with that group, that I didn't see the mixing. So maybe now the time's right. Yeah, I guess let me pass it over now. Janie had said, yes, Rod, we've all been many people in our various walks. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely right. And I agree with everything he said. I just tried to focus back in again on what do men do, because sometimes we forget what the shows are about. And Running Elk had said, when Rod was talking, that is so. Not to forget, but to move ahead. He's absolutely right. We're not telling anyone to forget anything, whether no matter how we walked in the past. You don't have to forget it, but you have to let it go and move ahead. To forget it, then we may risk screwing up the same way again. Keep it in your heart, but certainly forgive and move ahead. And to me, that's how we get there. Passing over to Rod, because more stuff's coming.
Thanks, Tim. You know, what can men do? One of the ways that I look at it is we begin where we are. For those of us who are married, speaking to the guys, if you know, we have a wife if we're married. If, well, in traditional way, sorry, Jim. I forget. Yes, all things inclusive here. But if we have a significant other, we have someone in our life that we share our time with, we share our life with, then for me, one of the biggest things was coming to that understanding of I am no different. I may be the male this time around in my house, in my home, and in my marriage. But what does that mean? I mean, that meant something, you know, growing up, you're supposed to do this, supposed to do that, supposed to do this, and you have your obligations and you have your role. And I agree, yes, there are roles. I can do things my wife can't do. When the car breaks down, I don't call my wife. She calls me. When the yard needs mowed, it's not, you know, I don't call my wife and tell her, go mow the yard. She calls me and say, you know, you got to mow the yard. So, yeah, there are different things that come up with our roles that we play. But where do our roles end and where does being a human being begin? And to me, that's a huge distinction to look at, that if we're looking at male, female versus human being, fellow sister, fellow brother, fellow part of who I am, part of everything that makes me is also what makes her. And then we start to walk in that kind of respect with that kind of knowledge and wisdom towards each other of value and placing that value and getting out of these old paradigms of, well, you're supposed to do, you're the, you know, we're, you know, you're asked how, what can men do? So that's what I'm responding to. So, you know, instead of coming back down and looking at it and saying, okay, well, you know, you're the wife, you're supposed to cook the meals, you know, clean the clothes, da-da-da-da-da, do the housework, do the chores. You know, that's your role, that's your job. You know, these things, it's time for these things to end. It's time, I mean, are there roles? Yes, we just talked about that. But where do we stop the roles and where do we stop the expectations? When my wife and I were going through some those trying times, I think that so many of us have the opportunity to go through, one of the things that I finally had to look at is, what are my expectations and why am I expecting anything? And once I realized that if it's my expectations that were leading up to my disappointments, when I took away my expectations and I don't expect to have supper on the table, now if I come home and supper's on the table, it's a blessing, and I am blessed because I come home from a hard day's work and I have a nice meal on the table. I come home from a hard day's work and I don't have to expect clean clothes in my dresser and in my closet. And when I take away that expectation of expecting it and turn from expectation to gratitude, oh my gosh, what a huge difference. How grateful to come home to a clean house, to clean clothes to put on the next day, to a nice meal put out, to someone who is there. I mean, to me, expectations have been such a huge part of our cultures, of our upbringing, and thus have bled into and become the warriors that we're walking in. Because I expect, you know, you're walking in a warrior and you have expectations, there is not probably going to be a whole lot of peace in your house and in your marriage and in your relationships, because it's not going to work. Because the warrior, the old warrior who walks with expectations from all these different, your children, your spouse, your this, your that, those times are gone, folks. Those times are gone. I don't think they were ever truly here where they truly worked. Yes, there were times that where things were needed. We've talked about that. But where do we come down to the personal aspects, the personal sides? And I think as we begin to get away our expectations, and instead of walking in an attitude of expectation, we start walking in an attitude of gratitude, that's going to shift. And we begin in our own homes, guys. We begin where we are in the world that we live in. So it's where you work, it's your children, it's your family, it's your friends. And that's where we can begin to model the new warrior, someone who walks differently. So I hope that might answer some of those. Anything, Jim?
Yeah, no, this is a good stream, too. And when Rod was talking at first, I put up, I need to disagree with Rod about roles. What do others think? And then I put, okay, he's shifting now. Because, yes, roles gets us hung up. And so I think what Rod's really saying is, when he started out, like, okay, if the grass has to be cut, then his wife comes and gets him. If laundry has to be done, I'm paraphrasing, he would go and get her. The reality is, it's whoever can do it best. And this goes beyond male and female as well. And let's just step it up a bit to circles. Ooh, lots of things coming on this. Good, okay. Let's step it up to circles as well. It's whoever does things best in circles. So whether it's male or female, whether it's young or old, whether it's black, white, red, or yellow, all those things need to go away. And as I've worked through things in this walk, I've seen a lot who don't want the young ones to come up and do or say much. It's like, okay, be quiet until you're older and you learn something. And yet they may have the best skills for some specific task at the moment. And that's both men and women I've seen do that. Now I'm starting to see that shift. We need to really be not just colorblind, but blind to all the elements of what a person is. It has to be inclusive to be truly spiritual and to grow. And so, yeah, I started chuckling when Rod said, well, so if you're married, then you got a wife. Well, not necessarily. And that's changing dramatically in our world right now. You don't have to agree with it. It doesn't have to be your walk, but you have to allow it to be if it's someone else's and it doesn't harm anyone. And this has been the big problem through the whole first four Earths. You have to allow all the different religions until they step over the line and begin to hurt somebody. On and on and on. We can go on with this forever. All things allowed. Spirituality is being liberal. Rod and I have had a lot of talks about this, as I have with others in the circle. We're not talking about liberal and conservative in the political arena, but you have to be liberal in spirit and heart to allow all things to be, because then the best will rise to the surface. If you're too conservative, you're constricting everything. And that's part of what we're seeing play out in this country right now. And that will be a whole show we'll do. And I think Roger's going to have a lot to say on that one. I can feel it. So, Janie said, I see some of my younger male friends live from the heart more as they meet their partners, and go on to have babies. They post their love for them on Facebook. I think it's lovely. I have also seen them evolve as they themselves grow up. Never feisty in the first place, I now feel a gentler spirit coming from them. Yeah, absolutely so. And Roger says, yes, Janie, to me that's the biggest recent shift that I've noticed. I think I would agree as well. It is definitely starting to shift. And the young ones, once again, is what this is all about. And I'm just thrilled that we have the number of young people we do, whether it's in our virtual circles. You know, we have people like Sharon in our inner circle who do the radio shows and works with me as my spirit twin. We have a lot of others who are young, who are involved. Here, as Sue and Rod and I are doing programs and putting them on, we're seeing young and old come together, and happily everybody is speaking. The younger ones are coming into this with more of an understanding of what needs to be. If they're coming from their heart, if they're working in nature, and if they don't get hung up by the controls of nurture and the controls of religion and the controls of politics and the controls of the education system and on and on and on. They're paying attention. They're opening up. And I think this is a place where the virtual realm has absolutely been an incredible tool, as Jenny was talking about here. Yes, we can connect with people around the world. I can connect with the four colors in a way that my teachers never foresaw. Well, actually, maybe they did, because they told me I would do it in a different way. But we can connect with everybody. We can see everything in an instant. Men are now allowed to go ahead and state their feelings. Women are allowed to say, I'm not just going to sit here and do the laundry. And that's all positive as long as we come together and make it into good energy to build for the future and build in a good way. And I hope. Okay, let me shift over a minute to Rhonda. I know we're getting late. We'll stay on a little bit longer if Rod's good with that.
Yeah.
Let's stay a little bit more. Rhonda's put up, in community, there's always someone who is good at each role. Doesn't matter who fills which role. More that we accept that together, that it all gets done. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to get across. Not sure if I did it well. Yes, in circle, we don't worry about who steps up. We don't worry about what they look like. And some of the people who are different, whether they be young or a different religion or a different color or whatever than others in the circle, can feel like, well, I should be quiet. I don't know enough yet. It's not the time for that. I remember that feeling. Working in a lot of places where I was the only white face, and I stood a head taller than anyone else. I know exactly what that feels like, and you want to crawl into a corner and shut up. You really can't. You need to step forward and speak your piece, and when it's time, feel that it's okay to do something. Because, you know, no right or wrong. If it doesn't work out the way it needs to, someone else will be there to say, wow, you know, I know a little bit about this too. Why don't we try this? That way the circle rolls and moves ahead and doesn't stagnate waiting for just one or two who think they control things, like we've had in the Earth so far. Okay, let me pass it over to Rod for a couple minutes, and then we'll see if there's anything more. I'll go look at the message, and then we'll probably wrap it up.
Thanks, Jim. You know, I was just thinking as Jim was talking and as reading some of the things that are coming in from you guys, how much of, you know, if we start breaking that down, how much of that comes down to expectations that have been placed on us for the, quote, roles that whatever society we've been brought into, family we've been brought into, and how does that play into their beliefs? So if we're, you know, each family that we're brought into has a belief system, has a culture, et cetera, et cetera. And each one of those, each belief, I'm beginning to see this now, each belief comes with an expectation. And so if we have beliefs, we then have expectations that come because we believe in those beliefs. And so as long as we're walking in this paradigm, oh my gosh, how do we think we can ever come together and become who we are working on becoming in this new earth where we're all walking in creation as equals, as partners, until we begin to drop. Again, see, it all comes, to me, I'm seeing where so much of it comes back down to our beliefs. And when we don't have the belief or the understanding that who we are, who all things are, where everything comes from, where this great creator has gotten everything together and made this great secret, how will we ever come together and become a new earth that walks with love and gently upon this earth as well as gently with each other? So expectations, wow, I think if we start spending time and looking at our situations in our life and we begin to look at what are we expecting from believing this? What are we expecting by walking this way? What are we expecting by being here or being there, etc.? I think we'll begin to start maybe boiling down to the essence of our true beliefs and our true identities as we begin then to walk away. It might help us to make that shift of walking away from some of these old things, these old beliefs, as we begin to look at what were we expecting by believing that. Any thoughts out there?
So still good things coming. And there's a lot of new people on chat today I saw, and there was a lot of new people on the message board. So welcome. Either you're new to these shows altogether or you've decided to step up and join the conversation. Either way, you are more than welcomed in, and it's great to see you. So even if you've sat fairly quiet, you've stepped up to the chat board or the message line. Beautiful. Thank you for that. Here's a couple. I wasn't going to bring in any more, but these are I like. Well, I like them all, but these are good. Running elk. Contrary medicine of the backwards ones helps with these things. So what he's talking about is Hayoka medicine. And yes, he's right. Hayoka medicine is the Hayoka medicine person does everything backwards, the reverse of everything you would expect. And this used to help the whole tribe, even though they often would get angry and find it very difficult to be around this medicine, and still do, but especially the men, to look at things and even to laugh at themselves. Because Hayoka medicine is just that. Everything is backwards. So Hayoka may depict strong men crying or men going and cleaning the clothes, and on and on and on. So that's a really neat way of indigenous folks dealing with this in one way. And Jonathan, I want to bring this in too because it's another interesting point. We all come from different places. Jonathan is saying, Australia was built on a convict population, so the strong male thing still exists, taking a lot of work by those awake. And Roger says, I grew up with a British Army Sergeant Major as a stepfather. Oh, no. Oh, well, sorry. Male role model. This went totally against my own nature. Yeah, so there's some more good points. And Jonathan, yeah, absolutely right. The history of Australia, for those who don't know it, the convicts from Great Britain were sent to Australia, kind of getting them way out of the way, halfway around the world. So they pushed the Aborigines out of the way, and what you had was a whole population of convicts. And that, yeah, I'm sure, brought forward, as he's saying, that strong male thing. Boy, I mean, men, I'm sure, had a fight just to survive. I mean, think about that, a whole convict population, but no one to control the convict population. Wow. By those awake, it's taking a lot of work. I really respect that, and that's a beautiful thing to see that some of you are, Jonathan. And then Rogers, yeah, I can't imagine. Well, yes, I can. This goes back to something we've said on many shows. A lot of us who are spiritual grew up in families that we did not fit in at all. As Roger's saying, an Army Sergeant Major is a stepfather and male role model. which was totally against his own nature. And I think a lot of that is so that we did learn and we did see the other side and we were able to evolve and come into what we are. My thought. See what Rod says.
Well, thanks, Jim. Yeah, becoming who we are. Who are we? I mean, this is such an amazing time. This is an amazing shift that has been, I think, for so many of us, something that we've known was coming, always felt was coming, knew that we were here to be a part of, knew that there was something major coming, whether we look at it as a new earth coming or, you know, an ending of what we were in. I was talking with some people the other day, and, you know, they were kind of starting to look at these things and starting to begin to question the ways that they have walked, the path that they've walked, and the ways that they've walked on that path as a warrior. And they're just in devastation at the moment, watching how it's not working anymore. The old ways just aren't working. And looking at these things and beginning to understand that this is the time. This is the time that so many of us, I believe, speaking for myself, have waited for, always wondered for. I remember going through the 60s and wondering what happened. I remember living in Boulder in 70, oh gosh, late 70s, and wondering, why did you guys betray our movement? As you all went from the hippies to the yippies to the yuppies and the whole transition that was going on at that time. And wondering, you know, I'm sure there's others out there too, and wondering, did we just miss it? Was I missing something? What is this connection that I thought was coming? Well, I believe that connection now is here. I believe there's enough of us that are up and awake and running and coming into this new awareness. And now with that in mind, now is the time where we must, I think, begin to send out the light, to get away from the dark, to get away from division, to become into that unity, but coming into it in a way that is worshipful, respectful, and with a great sense of purpose. You know, it's not... Back then, it might have seemed, in the 60s, it might have seemed like, wow, wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be awesome? Wouldn't this be a fun way to live? Isn't this the way it should have been, etc.? But I'm finding now I'm coming into it with a whole different attitude I don't want to use the word serious because I hate to get too serious. I can do that. But to come into it more with an attitude of looking at it and saying, oh, my gosh, this is really here, and it is a deep purpose. It is a deep spiritual purpose. I believe it's why we're here. It's why we've been in this walk. It's why we had our past walks. It's everything that has come before has come for this time that is now. And that, to me, is where we begin. We begin where we are. We begin in our homes, at our workplace. In our world, your world is everything that touches your existence. So everywhere you walk, the stores you go into, you know, you walk into these places now and I hear so many conversations of, wow, customer service isn't what it used to be, or this isn't what it used to be, and the people just don't seem to care anymore, you know, when you go in. Well, you know, to me, that's part of our purpose. Our purpose now is to go in and be the light. Our purpose is to be the ones who walk in with great joy, that bring that great light, so that we can begin to open and share and have a nice word to say. And if we begin that process, what will mirror back to us? You know, rather than worrying about what the world is mirroring back to itself, all we really need to be concerned about, truly, is what are we mirroring? So what are our actions reflecting back? Because as we go out and do these things, then that's how it's going to be. So if we just take our own individual responsibility and be responsible for the image that we're putting into that universal mirror that's going to reflect back, I believe that's where we're going to make this change, where we're going to see these things happen, and where we'll be there to walk into this new existence. Jim?
Well, this has been a great show, I think. Thanks, as always, to you all. Just seeing if there's anything else we need to hit. Well, we got others who are mentioning their dads were also, you know, they loved them, but very judgmental, went against their nature. Again, this is something that I see in so many people who have awakened and start walking the spiritual road. It's one of the kind of one of the parameters of it. And it's not a bad thing. And that doesn't mean, you know, I'd put up about my own dad, who I loved very much. My dad was a shirt and tie guy. And you're supposed to be there and serve the entire family and on and on and on. And that just, yeah, didn't resonate to me. Anyway, we had two people ask, what are we going to do with this show? We don't really know yet. We just kind of scheduled this show. So let us hear from you all. Maybe we'll put it into the schedule. Maybe we'll do it on an occasional show. Rod and I haven't even talked about it. It just seemed like it was a good time to start. And given the response, it looks like everybody's getting something out of it. So we can certainly do more of these shows, more of the grandfather shows. And we will welcome any of you who wish to speak on it if you want to let us know ahead of time. If you have a topic, so let us know. If you want to talk as a grandfather or otherwise, let us know. So we'll have to talk about that, and we'll talk about it with Sue and Sharon, Rhonda and Sandra, all the hosts. We'll just see what we're going to do with it, if that works. And, okay, here's from Alice. Elise? I don't know. I stink with pronouncing things. As fathers, brothers, uncles, and support, our birthing cycle as the carrying of the baby, and birthing is not your role, rather to give your loving, nourishing, and tangible protection you do for our sacred space, like the sun loves Mother Earth. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the roles of men. But again, this is something that needs to be, the women carry the child and give birth to the child, but it needs to be done in unison, I believe. And that's how I was taught also. So we're there to nurture, to help, but to be part of the process. And for a long time, most men, I think I can safely say, did not play that role. That's part of other shows too, Western medicine, all kinds of things that tag into that. So thank you for that comment. Roger says, this has been an awesome gathering. Thank you, Jim, Rod, everyone here. I'd like to see more like this. Blessings, and I look forward to seeing you all next time. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sure we'll do more of them. We'll just figure out how all this is going to work. And as I take us out of this, remember you can find us not only on Facebook, but also our website at www.sotem.org. Sanctuaries of the Earth Mother. For any who really like the shows, we could certainly use some assistance. You can hit the donation tickets on the website, put in what you can. Just this radio show is $39 a month. We've been doing things around here and trying to get donations as well. It doesn't take too much to run what we do so far, but it does take some money each month. So if you can help us there, that's great. Don't forget the archives. There's a couple hundred different shows there. You can go through, take a look, listen to whatever you like, and join the conversation in any way you want. And remember, tomorrow we have another special show, the Healing Mirror Holder show, Sharon and I, on how did I lose my spirituality and what do I do now? Whew, that's a mouthful. I think we're good. Rod's shaking his head. I'm sure you can all see that. I can. Thank you all, really. These shows don't exist in the way they've evolved without all of you. It's what comes from you that guides the shows. And that, I think, is what makes us different and makes what we're all doing here together powerful. Thank you all. Have a great day. I hope.